بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The primary objective for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent every one of us into this world is for the recognition and the ibadat, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. If that is the objective, the question is, how much of time am I spending in that objective? A simple example would be that in a very advanced company, person goes for an interview, but he doesn't get accepted for his qualification. Maybe he's an accountant, but there is no space for him in that department for him to do the books. So they tell him, listen, we cannot accommodate you in that, but if it's a matter of life and death, and you have to put something on the table for the family, due to our relationship that we have, we can accommodate you just as a secretary. You can be the secretary. Take the calls, take the meetings, report to us, and let us know what's happening. So he's taken for that job. So he comes into the company, he takes that job. But due to his qualification, he is not feeling joy in taking a call, you know, so and so company, appointment available. That's just not within him. He's highly qualified, he's very used to figures. You put something complex in front of him and he enjoys the challenge. So the phone calls get neglected. He's helping the people in the accounting department who are having problems. But he's not taking those calls. At the end of the month when there's issues, then obviously the CEO of the company or the employer will say, excuse me, there's a problem. People are phoning, there's so many complaints, there's no follow-ups, they're coming and they're asking for appointments, they're not getting through, the phone is just ringing. Excuse me, sir, you're not fulfilling this job, you rather leave. So sometimes we're doing very sophisticated things in life. Manufacturing, bringing different things and producing for the ummah. But that basic primary reason for which we are created, are we fulfilling that task? And how much of time am I giving for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the primary objective and reason for us being sent onto this earth, for the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Makkah Mukarramah, the most blessed of lands, meaning cities, it's the best. Salah multiplied 100,000 times. So yes, it is the best of cities. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is his birthplace. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the mantle of nubuwwat. He is the Nabi of the time. Hurdles, obstacles in his life, because of which it becomes a hindrance for him even making the ibadat of Allah. Salah was an issue. Giving da'wah to people was a threat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was difficult for him and sahaba now to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the permission to sahaba radiallahu anhum to make hijrah, because this objective cannot be fulfilled with ease. Now you make hijrat and leave even the best of lands, meaning where reward is multiplied. Make hijrat from there and go to another place. Why? Ibadat is objective and maqsood.
That is the objective. And as Muslims, our worry and concern in this present political climate that we find ourselves in, some people, analysts, different people, are worried and concerned as to which way we're going to turn, what's going to happen. Anything can happen. We're in the minority. We are just, you know, approximately 2% compared to such a big population. Our concern in this land is the ibadah of Allah. If someone allows us to come to the masjid, alhamdulillah. We can have our madaris, darul ulums, when students from the world are coming to study in South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we've got nothing else. We require the ability and the freedom for us to be able to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our interest in here. Which means that the political climate directly or indirectly does affect us as Muslims. And what is my reaction response in this stance? What do I do? What is my take? Do I just leave it? No, we're not politicians. It's not for us. Islam is a very holistic religion. There's no divorce from other departments from ibadah. It's ibadah, it's governance, ruling, nikah, business, economics, trade, social. Everything put together, the package is called the deen of Islam. So there's no divorcing business to say that the deen of Allah is restricted to the masjid. Well, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even govern and give us guidance in our business, in our social life, in our economic life, in our political life. And we as Muslims really have to be worried and concerned. The businessmen are already in few hours one businessman was already saying, Mawlana, make dua because when I booked the goods, that was the rate. If it goes 1 rand more, we 50 cents already above the dollar rate. 50 cents rand dollar we went. If we go 1 rand more, I think so I'm going to be a little bit out of the market here. I'm going to be out of it. Worried and concerned, what price is going to be paid for it? But the greater concern, as we said, primary, if all of us are worried and concerned about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, the rest of it will all fall into place. Allah will make means for the rest of it. Now in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do we need to have interest in something that doesn't have to do with us? We don't have any political party. But our interest is about the deen of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Makkah Mukarramah. A war is taking place between two non-Muslim groups. The Persians and the Romans. So this was before the Hijrah. The Persians, fire worshippers. The Romans, Roman Catholics, meaning Christians. So obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are still Ahli Kitab, the people of a book. They still have a divine code of life. There is some divinity to them in the sense that in their religion, there is some link, assimilation that we have. We share certain common factors, grounds as Muslims and Christians. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when Muslims were back in, they worry and concern, the Romans must be victorious. And the pagans, the Muslim, the Kufar, the polytheists of Makkah Mukarramah, they were back in the Persians. Because we are idol worshippers, our interest is if the Persians overcome them. Nabi Sam is back in, the Romans need to win this. At least we have some common ground. Yes, there is differences. We have differences. But there is common ground. Meaning there is some interest that we can have. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. We have common factors, we'll be able to sit on the table. We'll be able to discuss things. So eventually in that war, the Romans were defeated. The Persians were victorious. Sahaba were down, worried, concerned. That see who we were back in now. Our team, our choice has failed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals Surah Rum, 21st juz of the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Ghulibatir Rum fi adna al-ard wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Romans have been defeated. Give it a few years. Bid'i sinin, Arabic bid' is a few years. Meaning 3 to 9, within this time frame, the Romans will be victorious and triumphant once again. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is so happy, he's elated when this verse is revealed. He says, Kufar, listen, I am ready to bet. At the time it was still permissible. The hurmat of it was not yet, the prohibition not yet revealed. So he says, I'm ready to bet. I'll give you 10 camels. And I'm telling you, guarantee you, that the Romans will be victorious in 3 years. So Ubay bin Khalaf says, yes, bet on. If the Romans are victorious, then I give you. But if the Persians are victorious once again, you give me. He says, right. We're gonna, bet is on. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes, he says, Ya Rasulallah, I've got such yaqeen in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. I took the bet. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Abu Bakr, bet minimum is 3, up to 9. Change that. Tell him within a period of 9, some narration 7. Tell him within a period of 9 years, the Romans will be victorious on the next encounter. So he comes back. But listen, change it. Up the price. For him to be in the game, you need to up it. Don't tell him 10, tell him I'm ready to give you 100 camels. The Romans will be victorious within 9 years. Ubay bin Khalaf, you see, our game is on. I'm ready to change. We go to 100 camels within 9 years. I mean, 10 wasn't so good. Little bit more juicy. We go to 100 camels. But within 9 years, he says, right. 100 camels, I give you if Romans are victorious. And you give me if the Persians are. So he says, okay. And within 9 years, on the 7th year, the Romans were victorious. In that was just after the battle of Badr. Ubay bin Khalaf, he died. He was killed in the battle of Badr. He already died. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, before he left Makkah Mukarramah, Ubay bin Khalaf said, you cannot leave. If you want to leave, I need a guarantor. I'm worried you may not pay me my 100 camels. He says, my son is guarantee. No problem. 100 camels will be paid. So eventually he went on the hijrah. He had the guarantor. And on that, after this battle between the Romans when they were victorious, in the second encounter, he comes to the family and he says, I want my 100 camels. And that was paid. The 100 camels now given to Abu Bakr. He comes to Nabi Sam, Ya Rasulallah, we won the bet. Nabi Sam says, but now betting is haram. The prohibition has come. So therefore the 100 camels are no more yours. That goes away without even any reward. Don't even have any intention. Give that away. Give it back into the community. It's not for us. It's filth. It's not for us. Allah forgive, Allah forgive. Sometimes what happens, we've got noble intentions, but we do it in the incorrect manner. A person says, see, there's so many poor people around, I really want to look after. So he opens up an account, interest bearing, he can gain it. He says, Qasam Mawlana, I'm not going to take 1 cent from there, I'm giving it sadaqah. But now you can't do wrong, you can't do something wrong, and your intention may be very noble. There's no reward in that. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu couldn't keep the 100 camels. But be as it may, the lesson for us, the lesson that we're trying to drive home, is that the Muslims, our primary concern is the ibadat of Allah. Where we have our deen, we can establish our deen, we back that. And our concern now in South Africa, in this time, when we don't know on which side we may tip, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. We had a feel of it in the looting. We know what potential there is. So we really have to be worried and concerned that Allah brings khair, the decisions be good for us. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was known as Ibrul Ummah, Mufassirul Quran, the greatest commentator on the Quran Sharif, says, إِذَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ وَلَّا أَمْرَهُمْ خِيَارَهُمْ. When Allah is happy with you, O Ummah, the believers, when Allah is happy with you, then He chooses the choices and the best to be your leader. And وَإِذَا سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. When Allah is upset with your a'mal, Allah is really disturbed with the way you are carrying on as Muslims, unbecoming. Allah places upon you leaders that will rule with tyranny. They will grip you, tighten the noose, and you won't be able to practice on your deen. Make it difficult. Now, we ask ourselves, our a'mal, because famously quoted, not a hadith, a'malukum umalukum, that your actions are a direct result of your leaders. What are we sending to Allah? Every morning am I reciting Quran like my father, the pious back in our home? You know, back in the days, the old people will know that Papa, Dada, They made sure Baji read Quran first. After Fajr, no sleeping. Today, like it is wajib to sleep after Fajr. Immediately we hit the bed. They couldn't sleep until Quran Sharif was not in their life. But be as it may, two things of that we can be active in as Muslims in this time. Number one is dua. The first is we make fervent dua to Allah. There may not be a Muslim party. There's no Muslim to, you know, to vote for. But as Muslims, we have to make dua, ya Allah, let the conditions that are coming upon us in South Africa be in the interest of Islam and the Muslims. Make the dua. Not for our wealth, ya Allah, the looting last time was tough, I lost out. Ya Allah, protect me this time. No. It's not about that, that's secondary, primary. Ya Allah, the deen of Allah. Ya Allah, masajid, protect it. Look at what happened in the other countries. Example in Spain. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah says that when the enemies came to attack him, he was hiding at the masjid. Imam Qurtubi, who had written the tafsir of Tafsir Qurtubi, he's saying, I'm hiding. The greatest scholar of the time in Spain, in Qurtuba, that was under Muslim rule, and the Muslims had to run, tails between their legs. When you turn your back to the deen of Allah. When you don't fill the masajid like how you do it for Jumu'ah and Eidain. So he says the kuffar came, two horsemen came, and they knew they were hot on his heels, he's hiding somewhere. They come right in front of him, they don't see him. What is he reciting? Allah inspires him to recite the opening verses of Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبَصِرُونَ We place barriers before them, behind them, and they were unable to see. And he's continuously reciting the opening verses till this. وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ The horseman came, listen, this fellow had to be one devil. Where did he disappear? And he says, I'm looking at them at the face and they cannot see me. Allah blinded them. When a person has yaqeen that dua will be effective, when a person is true to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will protect him. And we look throughout the Quran, that common theme of dua. Look at Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, barren land, he makes dua. Ya Allah, this land is barren, Makkah Mukarramah. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ And he made dua, Rabbana. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ My first worry and concern, protect the deen of Allah. Protect the salah of my children. And then he makes dua. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرُزُقُهُمْ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ Ya Allah, the fruits of the world must be sent to Makkah Mukarramah. This barren land, the fruits of the world are sent to Makkah Mukarramah. Choices, best quality, you are eating in Makkah Mukarramah. Acceptance of the, or rather that's the fruit of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That he made the dua. That we see it in Makkah Mukarramah. Zakaria alayhi salam, old in age, making dua. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Ya Allah, bless me, I don't have any children. Old age, he makes dua. Wife is barren, he's old in age. He said, I'm going to become a father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Yahya alayhi salam at old age. Yunus alayhi salam, in the belly of the fish, they say in three darknesses, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the belly of the fish. Yunus alayhi salam is making dua, which we know as ayat kareema. This dua. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ He implored Allah. He cried to Allah. أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ Ya Allah, there's no one that can help me. In this predicament, no one save you. إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ I am the wrongdoer, Ya Allah. Humble ourselves. Ya Allah, I haven't been coming for Fajr. I'm so close to the masjid and I haven't been coming. Ya Allah, I'm wrong. Don't change the conditions in South Africa because of me. Let us start coming. Ya Allah, I wronged. I wasn't paying my zakah. I was, you know, lagging. I was delaying in that. Holding back, trying to invest, roll a little bit more and then pay it. I was delaying. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, I usurped the rights in inheritance. Inni kuntu mina zalimin. Ya Allah, these conditions that are coming because of me, let me quickly give it back. to my sisters, to the mother, whoever it may be that I wronged, or to my brother and I took extra, wherever it may be, whatever wrong, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Aisha radiallahu anha asked Nabi Sallam, أَنَهْلِكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ. So many pious people, we still can face the wrath of Allah? Nabi Sallam says, نعم, إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثُ. If there is rampant, open disobedience of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change those conditions. And evil can come. If we look in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked Nabi some multiple questions. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They will ask you regarding the cycle of the moon. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ. Tell him this is the answer. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. Tell him. Then they come and they will ask you, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what amount should we spend in the path of Allah? قُلْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them the answer. قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. The entire answer was given. And they asked various questions. Every question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you give them the answer. But one thing, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. If ever my servants ask you about me, no masla, they want to know about me, tell them to implore and to connect directly to me, I listen to their call. Don't, they mustn't go via you, no medium. You don't have to confess. You don't come to Imam and say, I did this wrong. No, just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm ready. Yunus alayhi salam, when he made this dua, we call ayat kareem, la ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. The next verse, fastajabna la. Immediately Allah, we responded, fastajabna la. We heard him out, he called us. We listened to him. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. He was in worry, concern. We removed him from all of those worries and concerns. And besides the political climate, in our own personal lives, we all have issues, worries, concerns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we talk to Allah, when we cry to Allah, Allah will resolve and remove those difficulties, inshallah. So the one aspect that we all need to really fervently, let's not wait for the wake-up call. Let's not wait for something to happen. Turn to Allah before that. Let not something happen and say, "Ush, we should have, man, serious." There's so many incidents of the past, Burma and the people of Spain and other areas and Masjid al-Aqsa, etc. But let's not talk about all of that. Let's be proactive. Let's not wait for something and say, "Molana, what can we do now? These things are happening." Let's be proactive. Number one is dua. And number two is sadaqah. When a person is giving a lot of sadaqah, inna sadaqah tudfi'u ghadab al-rab, wa tadfa'u mitat as-su. The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cooled and calmed by sadaqah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, incident is very famous. He sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about the people of the past, and there was a drought, there was no rain, and suddenly a cloud cover comes. And this cloud, there is a voice that says that go and water the garden of so and so. Famously, we all know about it. And eventually, the person comes over there and he says, listen, I heard your name, that's why the water came. But be as it may, long story cut short, what's the reason that from all of these farms, only you getting rain? What happened? So he says, see, my earnings, 1/3 of it is for my expenses. 1/3 of it I have to reinvest in the business. And 1/3 I invested in the creation of Allah. All these people who are those that are not by the means, the not-haves, those people I have to see to them. The poor, the needy, the widows, those that are, in difficult situations, in trying times, I invest in them. When I do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me more, because I am actually dispensing and looking after the creation of Allah. Allah will look after me. So I'm like the treasury, looking after the creation of Allah. Imam Ghazali rahimullah speaks about an incident. And he says the importance of reinvesting back in the community. One person passed away. He was the most evil person in society, and deep down we all feel like that. We all feel like if only my sins were exposed. There's one quality of Allah, that Allah is Sattarul Uyub. He veils and He covers our sins. If our sins have to be opened up, wallahi brothers, we wouldn't be sitting in standing in front of you. You see, why are you talking to us? Look at your history. Look at what you did back in the days. So Allah has really covered up. How much He has covered up. Satarul uyub. But be as if a person passed away. 4 days fast, no one's coming. No one's knocking on. Everyone knows. Not even the burial society. No one's coming to see by ghusl, kafan, something. He was the worst and the most wicked of person. Leave him. Let him rot in his house. Now the wife, she quickly called 4 people. She says, no one's coming. I'll pay you all. Call the amount, please, man. Do something. If you all can't give ghusl, just wrap him up. Dig the hole. If there's no Muslim for janazah, just bury him. I know it's going to be a foul smell, but just bury him. So this person, the wife paid 4 people. They gave him ghusl. They gave him kafan. As they taking him to the qabrastan, then one wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ghazali narrates this incident. Allah inspires a friend of his. He says, one wali, buzruk of the time, quickly go to the qabrastan. There is the janazah of someone to take place. Perform it and take all your students. He took all his students and disciples and mureedin. They went and they performed the salatul janazah. After the salatul janazah, he said, who is this? Allah inspired me to come. Got the particulars. Go to the door. Knock on the door. Excuse me, wife. Was that your husband? Yes. Any good quality in him? No. But he was lying away the cause for 4 days. What good can there be in him? No one wanted to take charge of his ghusl and kafan. He said, but there had to be something. He said, no, there's 2 things I know in his life. Every day he came back home and he was really, really drunk. Absolutely drunk he came every night. But he made sure he woke up for tahajjud and say, oh my Allah, you forgive me. I wronged. I really did wrong. That's one thing. And number two, he ensured that there was an orphan or a poor person at his house. Either to give them food or either to shelter them. To reinvest back in the creation of Allah. So the wali of Allah is telling the wife, that was what Allah told me to come for his janazah for. That's why I had to come. Number one, he made amends with Allah. Tawbah he made. But look at the quality of his reinvesting back in the community. We ask ourselves, are we reinvesting back in the community? Yes, we put aside for the holiday, exotic places, for our cars, for our phones. How much are we putting aside to say, back into community, back for the poor, back for the needy? Okay, let's start in our own homes, right? People who are working for us, people who are under us. Let's see to make sure that we pay them appropriately. So they can also live decently. And then move on to other aspects. Touchy topic, let's move on. Ibn al-Furat, rahimahullah, he was the minister of the time. One more incident. The effect of sadaqah. Ibn al-Furat, he was the minister and he wanted to put someone away. He had sinister intentions. And he called this person, he says, excuse me, what's with the bread? What's with the loaf of bread? He says, there's nothing, I don't know what you're talking about. So he didn't want to divulge the secret. So Ibn al-Furat is telling him, listen, I had intentions of killing you. But for the last 3 nights, I'm having this persistent dream about you. I told someone kill, he comes, and there's a resistance, he's unable to capture you. Then I told him, shoot him from a distance, and then you shield yourself, and we cannot kill you. All happening in the dream. And then I see you, every time we're trying to kill you, you're putting a loaf of bread. What's the loaf of bread? So this person is saying, from the time I was small, my mother put one loaf of bread next to my bed. One loaf of bread. When I woke up in the morning, she says, beta, this is for sadaqah. You give it or if you forget, I'll do that on your behalf. I got my sadaqah. This is for you on your behalf. He says, my mother passed away. The habit hasn't changed. Till now, one loaf of bread, I make sure I give it. Every single day, am I giving sadaqah? Do we have a recurring debit order that every day I make sure that I'm giving some sadaqah for the protection, divine protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now these are the things actively we can do inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the ability. We spoke about dua number one, and number two we spoke about sadaqah. There are other things we can speak to the ulama, what we require, what's required of us, what we can do. But proactively as Muslims, this is what we need to do. And as an ummah, let's fervently make dua. What can happen, we don't know. What happened in other countries, we know. We don't want to speak about the bad side and the dark side of things. We require goodness, khair and afiyat. Let's make dua and be active. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah.